Well, hello, Sanctuary Church. I am so grateful to be with you and praying that this time would be really helpful and encouraging and strengthening to not just your head knowledge of who God is, but your heart. Because Christians, you know, are usually pretty dishonest people when it comes to their emotions, because we like to slap on the happy face and pretend like everything is going really well, when deep inside there might be some great turmoil. And in fact, there's a lot of statistics that show that Christians still really wrestle with this deep pain. And on a very rare occasion, do we talk about that sadness? Do we really be open about talking about that sadness? Because it's just depressing. It's just sad to even talk about. And we're not supposed to be sad, right? As Christians, we've got that joy, joy, joy down in our heart, right? Yeah, right. I guess a lot of things we could point to these days have really messed up that reality, a reality that we've already know that's there. I mean, we've got COVID's messed things up. Racial injustice keeps messing us up, and being a true Christian today in today's political climate, it really messes with our faith and certainly our hearts. Folks, we've got a lot going on in our world, and it's okay to stop and acknowledge it's hard. There's something in us that's broken. So my prayer, my hope for you today is that you'd see that the Bible both affirms the complexities we feel around depression, and I'm going to call this point the Song of Depression, and there is this song of hope that this psalmist is going to get to that I want to look at. And I chose to use the word song in my 2 points because in my life, I see depression or sadness more as an unresolved song. Like jazz, there isn't a clear chorus or there's not really a clear end in always. Sometimes things just feel unresolved, even when all around me there might be some resolution, a situation or a life change might happen that brings some resolution. Sometimes depression doesn't always have that resolution. And Psalm 42 is this song of the depressed. It's a poet in pain. It's an author who feels lost. And the good news is that it's in the Bible. It's not hidden away, tucked away in a back office, private. He's not hiding his pain. You see, God isn't interested in the fake it till you make it kind of relationship with God. And I am no fool to think that in one short sermon that the sadness that you might feel could be cured or that the fullness of depression would be really addressed. But I hope that today we can get a little taste from God. So if you would open your Bible up to Psalm 42, open your Bible app, whatever you've got in front of you, and we will walk through this psalm in a minute. But depression is one of the most common mental illnesses in the United States. It affects around 20% of people. That's people diagnosed. And over 70% of the population has experienced seasons of depression. I mean, even teenagers are feeling this unusual pain in their life. More than just the emo phase that I went through in the 80s and 90s, but they seem to be holding this heavier weight than usual. Mix in COVID and the stats have just been skyrocketing. And that's why that's just people that's just been diagnosed. That's not just the people who just go undiagnosed and just kind of go on with life just carrying it. So we will all most likely come face to face with this wall of pain. I mean, even the tough guy, yes, you tough guy out there who's sitting and is like, I'm cool, I'm fine, I don't need this. Or maybe the do-it-all mom who's holding it all together and she's got to hold it together for her kids or her family. Or even the pastor. Pastor Rich, the rest of you, you experience this wall of pain as well. No one really escapes it. Maybe people have different ways of expressing it or are experiencing it. None of us escape it. Well, what is this depression that I'm talking about? I mean, defining depression and defining this sadness, it's like trying to define the color clear. It's not easy. It's like a painful bruise that you don't know how you got, or it's like getting tangled up in a bunch of cords that you can't see. You just feel stuck. And I could tell story after story of moments in my life when things were good and things seemed to be all packaged up and good, but inside I was falling apart. Inside I was super disoriented, and the reality going on around me didn't always match how I felt. And I know I'm not alone in this. In fact, if we're willing to look at the Bible, if we're willing to look at the characters in the Bible, you'll start to see that they, in fact, were pretty open about this bruise of the soul that they felt. They didn't hide it from us, thankfully. And they wrote it down. And so can I just rattle off a bunch of examples to you? Because I hope that, you know, in reading a bunch of these, you'll feel, okay, I'm not alone. Okay, so there's Moses. Moses wept before the Lord at the burden of shepherding the Israelites into the promised land. And he asked God to kill him because he felt so unworthy and wretched. I mean, how much more honest can you get than that? Or Naomi, in the book of Ruth, Naomi was ripped from her family and ripped from a God-fearing community, raises her pathetic sons who were not working with her, and her husband is a loser, and she says to the Lord, things are far more bitter for me than you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. Or Hannah constantly wept and wouldn't eat because she couldn't have children. 1 Samuel says she wept bitterly. David, right? So many Psalms are King David's. The same strong, manly, giant killer, macho kind of guy that we like to talk about and we like to point out, he had very deep songs of depression. And he felt as though God was hiding his face from him or forgot him. He wept. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep because he experienced this deep pain. There's Elijah, Job, Jonah, Jeremiah, even the great Solomon the wise. Solomon says, so I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after wind. I mean, do you realize that Solomon had all the money and the power and the wisdom? He had it all, but he still had a moment in his life where he just hated it. So if you think, if I just had money, or if I just had that promotion, if I whatever it is, I'll be happy. There's never, ever been a case where that was true. Well, let me move into the New Testament. Some examples there. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was so utterly burdened beyond strength that he was despaired of life itself. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians. Are you being that honest? Well, finally, we'd miss a lot if we didn't look to Jesus. I mean, in Luke 22, Matthew 26, John 11, Jesus, our King, our Savior, our God, he wrestled with distress and pain in his life. Jesus said, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death, when it was time for him to be crucified for our sins. He was feeling that weight. I mean, do you have that bruise? That feeling of being tangled up, that unresolved sadness, that unknown absence, like something's missing. It's not because you are a bad Christian. It's not because you didn't have a proper quiet time. Actually, I've come to discover that it's quite the opposite. Now, I want you to hang on to that idea for a second. It is the opposite. Hang on to that idea. I think of all the things I will say in this sermon, there's one thing I want you to hear. You're not a bad Christian because you're depressed or sad. It's not simply a lack of faith. It's not simply a lack of trust. It's a complex issue with a whole history and a whole story that is yours. And so what is the cure? I'm sure you'd love to know, and I'm sure I'd love to know, what is the solution to all this pain? Well, this is where I want to go, to Psalm 42. We're not going to get everything. Some of you might need medication. Some of you might need to see a therapist. Some of you might really need a long season of counseling. And a long season, a really long season, you might need something deeper. But I want us to at least start by looking at Psalm 42 as he paints this realistic picture of pain and see that all of us need a relationship with God. We need depth with him. There's no quick fix. There's no magic formula, and there's no perfect solution in this life, but Psalm 42 might really help us. So the introduction to Psalm 42 says, if you got your Bible, go ahead, open it. It says, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. Now, that's a very weird way to open up a psalm. I mean, I don't even know what any of that means, right? You don't know what it means. But notice the word maskil. It's a hard word to translate, which is simply why it isn't translated. The translators just say, we'll just keep it maskil. I don't know how to translate this. But it's this idea of making wisdom. In other words, it's like a psalm of instruction. He's going to sing some instruction. That's what Psalm 42 is. It's a wise song of instruction written by a man, David, who tasted pain. He tasted true pain. Now, David would be appalled to see the first two verses of this psalm written on a coffee mug that we just casually drink. He would have been so upset, but that's what we've done to these first two verses, haven't we? We've tamed it. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Again, we've diluted this psalm, but David is screaming this. He's basically saying, I'm dying for hope, God. Give me something. Because we're desperate, because we're dying of thirst, in that desperation that we can relate to David, we're going to try to quench that ourselves. That's usually going to be our solution. That's why the psalmist confesses in the next verse when he writes, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Now, David is trying to fill this desperation, this desperate thirst, with his own tears, but they only leave him with the emptiness, the loneliness, and bitterness towards God. Our thirst is never quenched by our own tears. This thirst that we all experiencing, this thing we feel like we're missing, we cannot fill it with our own tears. Our thirst is never quenched by our own tears. It always leaves us asking, where is your God? Let me give you an example. In Hosea chapter 7, we read God saying to the depressed, they do not cry out to me from their hearts, but wail upon their beds. Again, God is saying that we can cry to ourselves on our beds and try to fill our own unfulfilled souls, or we can cry out to the Lord. Listen, tears sadness, depression will come. It might be circumstantial, it might be temporal, or you might go your whole life with this gray cloud of depression following you. But God wants us to cry to Him. God doesn't want us to try to fill our own void, try to pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps, try to make this happen on our own by eating our own tears. It doesn't come from us trying to fulfill ourselves. It comes when we pour ourselves out to God. As the psalm continues, we see our first call of instruction beginning. So, professor is in session. Verse 4, he's giving us some instructions. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour my soul out. He's remembering better times now. He's saying, right now I don't feel joy, but I know that joy is actually possible because I remember a time in my life when I experienced it. So can you remember a time in your life when you experienced great joy? Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it wasn't long ago. Maybe it was a new job. Maybe it was the birth of a child. Maybe it was just a really good conversation with a friend. Can you remember any time you felt that joy? And now in verse 5, he begins to defy depression. You see, depression takes over your life and it tries to define you. Verse 5 is saying, no, no way. It's not to say cover it up, but it's almost to make war against it. We all know depression is not a reliable voice. Or to put it more directly, it's actually a liar. You can honestly then cry out, my soul is downcast. Therefore, I remember. I remember better times. I remember the declaration that I received in Jesus Christ. You know what that declaration is? Paul said it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I remember the cross of Christ and what Jesus accomplished when he went to the cross and when he rose from the dead. And the psalm continues with, why have you forgotten me? Why do I mourn? Why do my enemies taunt me? Where is your God? He cries out to the Lord for all these things. But in the end, as he is complaining and crying out and declaring before God, he says to himself, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Do you hear in all of this, it's a clinging to God, hope in him, hope in God. Now, I realize that some of you might not be convinced. You might be saying, I tried hoping in God. I tried that. It didn't work. It didn't cure me. It didn't fix me. But the truth is, you may be trying this your whole life. So you see that depression isn't the absence of God's words to you, but it may be a word from God itself. Let me say that again. Depression is not the absence of God's word, but maybe it is itself a word from God. Have you ever thought about that? We beg God to take it away. But what if God is saying something to us in that? What if that is a word from God? Now, I have a whole family lineage in my life of depression, passed down for many years. And I've been spending many years of my own life working through this. And I can say confidently that those times God has felt absent are the times that he's beckoned me the loudest. Depression is not the absence of God or God's word or God's presence, but it is a word to come, find rest, find peace, experience joy in me. Now, considering all of this, would you listen to words that you probably have heard before from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? I want you to hear these words afresh. Considering all that we just talked about, all of Psalm 42, listen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Of course, Jesus goes on. Now, Jesus is saying, in your darkness, your poverty of spirit, your mourning hearts, your weak lives, that's when you can actually hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. The song of hope is that depression is not a punishment, but it's a way to find a real drink when you're thirsty. Living water. Not just the trivial things that the world might be giving us. The living God. It's a voice. Depression is a voice to cut past the happy, clappy version of Christianity to experience a truer faith. In Isaiah 53, we read a prophecy that Jesus Christ would become the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows our need. He knows our weakness. He's no stranger to it. That's the Christmas song we sing, right? But we also read that he's the Prince of Peace. So if you're weak, Christ knows it and is strong. If you're depressed, Jesus knows it and gives hope. Wherever you are, however you're feeling today, you can find real rest, real compassion, real communion with your Heavenly Father today. So let's go to Him. Lord, I pray for those who might be tuning in via video that somehow your Spirit would rush in and just fill them with some hope. If they feel that depression and sadness, God, fill them with hope. Lord, in all things, we want a truer, deeper version of you. We don't want the fake stuff. We don't want the trivial stuff. We want the depth. So God, I pray those who are feeling the depth of despair would experience the depth of relationship with you, even today. In Jesus' name we pray.